Hello, I'm Ian Anderson-Gray, and this is the Smart ADHD Podcast. Now, if you're a smart creative, entrepreneur, or business owner navigating your life with ADHD, this is the podcast for you. Now, I'm no ADHD expert, but I'm eager to share my story on what I've learned by talking with experts, as well as digging into the personal ADHD stories of successful creatives and entrepreneurs. I was diagnosed at age 46, and it answered so many questions in my life. But of course, that was in many ways only the start of my journey. So let's learn together. Smart stories, smart strategies, smart ADHD. Hello, welcome back to Smart ADHD. Well, this is the second part of an episode that was broadcast a few weeks ago, and it's from the Social Media News live show. And that's run by my good friend, Jeff C. And this is all about smart creating with ADHD. They were actually interviewing me, and I wanted to split this into two because there was so much stuff that we talked about. And I'm trying to make these episodes really short. So this is the second part of it. We talk about some of the techniques and the tools that I use to help with ADHD. And yeah, it's a really interesting conversation. So I hope you enjoy it. Let's get on with it right now.
I have to imagine that when you're living with ADHD, routines and processes are probably especially useful to kind of help you stay productive. You've talked a little bit about it, but could you share some other effective systems and routines that help you?
Yeah, back to the quickly back onto the quadrant thing. I think that we all have energy tanks. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of brain you have an energy tank. But understanding, like, if you spent any time in the red zone, you're going to drain your tank, and you could get leading to burnout. If you spend too much time in the blue zone, it might be fun watching Netflix, but if you do that all the time, you're going to get drained. So it's just balancing that. And this is, where routine comes in. The problem, I think, with ADHD is that it's a balancing act, because if you have too much routine, it gets boring. But if you don't have any routine, that's not exactly going to help you get stuff done. So it's finding the right balance for you, and we're all different. So time blocking, I have a kind of a flexible approach to time blocking, because I find it does help. But again, if it becomes too rigid, I ignore it. It's just kind of the way my brain works. But Google Calendar for me, I mean, oh my goodness, it's the most amazing thing ever. It's helped us as a family. We have shared calendars. We know what we're doing. If it's not in the calendar, it's not going to happen. I've got really good at making appointments. It's incredibly rare that I miss an appointment because it's in the calendar. And I've just got my brain focused on that. Not being too rigid, but you do need to have some routines, absolutely. I've mentioned having a virtual assistant or somebody to help. Accountability as well. So actually, sometimes I've spent time with my VA, and actually she's just been there saying, okay, you got these 5 emails. And I said, oh, can I just reply to them now? And she's waiting there while I reply to these emails. But the fact that she is there is helping me to do it. Mm-hmm. I find, how would I call this? Like, artificial deadlines can help. So my kids are at the time when I'm basically dad's taxi. So I'm taking my daughter to swimming or to music practice, and I'm in the car park for 45 minutes an hour. I get some of my best work done because I've only got 50 minutes to do stuff. And I'm kind of almost artificially firing up I think it's called my limbic system in my brain. I'm getting all technical now, but this is the stuff that I've been learning. And so artificial time limits can help. And then things like getting out of the house, so changing the environment. So sometimes that could be working in a different room of the house, going to a coffee shop. Don't forget your noise cancelling headphones and play some white noise or brown noise through that. We can talk about that in a bit. I use timers as well because of this kind of weird perception of time that ADHD people tend to have. Having you could call this a Pomodoro technique. I'm not entirely convinced Pomodoro works in the sense that I think you need to be flexible with ADHD, because sometimes you're just so in the zone, you're so hyper-focused that there's no way you're going to stop. In fact, if you stop, you're going to find it very difficult to get back into it. But this is particularly for stuff that you don't want to do, your yellow zone tasks. Mm. Timers are great. And then there's, of course, this technology as well as, I mean, I use things like Notion. We've mentioned Google Calendars as all this kind of stuff, which you can maybe talk about in a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's all really good. One of the, and this is a question somebody sent me when they knew that we're going to be talking about this topic. So I'm really interested in your thoughts on this. So it's creating consistently. So creating consistently can really be challenging. We, as creators, entrepreneurs, we know all about that. So how do you maintain motivation and continue to produce new content or ideas, particularly during, you mentioned before, like sometimes just with the ups and downs, those unmotivated phases. Like when you're unmotivated, how do you continue to produce this new content and ideas that you yeah. have to do as a creator or entrepreneur?
This is a tough one, I think, because this is why people do go down the medication route. I believe that can sometimes help. But you know, holistically, I've mentioned quite a few of those things, getting exercise. Putting all those to one side, like I following my curiosity, making sure that the tasks that I'm doing are stuff that I enjoy. And I found this with my show that I needed to be flexible enough in order to be able to keep my curiosity going. And actually I found with my Confident Live show, and we can maybe talk about this in a bit, that there were things that I really wanted to talk about that weren't really kind of appropriate. They weren't really part of like about live video and which is what my podcast and show is about. So I ended up realizing, well, I need to create a new show and so I can talk about that. But also, like, I think you need to give yourself permission. And this is a really hard one for me. You need to give yourself permission that it's okay to stop. Mm. And it's okay not to be consistent. Like, next week, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I don't have an episode ready for the Confident Live Marketing Show. I've had three out, and next week I don't. So, like, I could really stress about that. Or I could say, well, okay, I'm going to do a little bonus episode. I'm going to record 5-10 minutes. And that's okay. The world is still going to be here. And so you think it's just like understanding that it's okay. However, what really helped me at the start when I'm thinking about how I was consistent with the Confident Live Marketing Show from May 2019 until last year, I did it every single week, or the podcast was every single week. And the only way I did that was I had a solid plan and a process. And so I knew why I was doing it. I knew how I was going to do it. I had a good process and I had people helping me. And so although you might want to be alone, yes, you can be alone in terms of the creativity, but you kind of need help from other people as well, I think. And you also need to give yourself permission to change and stop along the way.
Mm. Great advice.
Yeah. You know, you've kind of hinted a little bit at tech helping you. And I love this question from Dustin, who says, you know, I'm curious if you've been able to utilize AI in any way to help with your ADHD. So, Ian, let's kind of take that and combine it with just tech or digital tools in general. What have you found useful to help when it comes to managing your ADHD, scheduling, you know, time management, productivity, all that stuff?
Well, so I want to preface this in saying that for some people, like AI is... like the new technology can be overwhelming and will explode people's brains. But you kind of like, if you can get over that, for me, I'm immensely excited about using AI to help me. It's like in preparation of coming onto the show, for example, I had so many things that I wanted to talk about. I was thinking, oh my goodness, like I'm going to be asked this. Like I knew that you were probably going to ask me, how would you explain what ADHD is? What is it? And so I actually used AI to kind of go back through some of the stuff that I've talked about and not to tell me what I was going to say, but to give me an idea, to move me from a blank piece of paper to something which I can then tweak and put mm-hmm. my own creativity in. So like tools like ChatGPT or whatever have been so helpful to getting me off the blank page into kind of creating stuff, some summaries of meetings. And like, I remember Jeff, when we went to Creator Camp, I actually kept this audio note that was converted into ChatGPT summaries of what was happening every day. Mm-hmm. I use Notion to, I've built my own kind of CRM. So I basically put all, everyone I know, most people I know, into there. And then I've linked them up with which events I've met them at. So I can go in there and I can see every event that I've seen you, Jeff, in it. And that is brilliant because it's basically like my second brain, it is my mm-hmm. brain, basically. I become like a cybernetic organism. And then there's Google Calendar at the moment. I mean, it, and maybe somebody can correct me on this, doesn't have AI. I'm a little bit nervous about putting AI into organizing my week. I don't think we're there yet, or I'm not there yet, because I want to have some control over that. Mm-hmm. But I think with some of the processes, it can be really helpful. So things like that. But there are other some kind of non-AI tools. So I do want to big shout out to things like Apple AirTags. I no longer forget my keys. I know where they are.
That's right.
There's tools like Brain FM. I use that all the time with my noise-canceling headphones because it just gets rid of any distractions. It helps me go to sleep. So Brain FM, basically, it plays sounds and music to kind of either get rid of distractions, or it helps you actually focus on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I use that all the time. Things like reminders, whether it's Apple Reminders or whatever it is, to help you like with shopping lists. Readwise, I use that to keep a track of all my books and things like that. I could go on, but there's that big.
Yeah,
a big
so list I think there. That's. I mean, Readwise is great. You have a follow up? You were gonna ask?
I have a follow up to that because this is just me personally. Getting started with Notion, I find so daunting because I get overwhelmed and my brain starts going 100 miles an hour when I just see the blank page, and that I can set it up anyway almost fills me with more anxiety versus someone just saying, this is how you should do it. So Ian, I'm curious, when you started with that, was it buying templates? Was it you knew exactly what you wanted, or did you just kind of go in and go crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, so like it was, so hopefully this is encouraging. I think I was overwhelmed. Yeah, I watched all these YouTube videos and I probably got hyper-fixated or hyper whatever it is. I was thinking, oh my goodness, there's all these amazing opportunities and all these amazing YouTubers talking about it. But I realized that a lot of them was spending all this time making it look beautiful. And I'm not against, like, I think that's all great. But what I thought was, and I bought lots of templates, I thought, do you know what? What's always helped is start simply and build. So I knew that I wanted to create a way to help me remember the people, like friends, contacts, and where I met them. So all I did, I didn't worry about the way it looked. I just created a really simple database in Notion with people's names and links to places. And then I created another database of events that I'd been to. And then I linked the two together. So you can have database of contacts, database of places. So it could be places like, you know, Ecamm Creator Camp, Social Media Marketing World, whatever. And so I can link those two together. And I think that's what I love about Notion. You can create databases and then link them together. Mm-hmm. And so I just made it really simple. And then now I've got a travel database. And I've got my stuff database. So I've got all my like cables and all that kind of stuff and tech. And I've got that in there. But I didn't start off with that. Oh, my goodness, no way. I just started simply and built it over time. So I would say just start like that. Don't worry about making it beautiful. Mine's still not beautiful. Maybe I will make it beautiful at some point. But it just works. And at the end of the day, you know, these tools are to help us solve a problem. And I'm not against spending time making them look beautiful, but that's kind of more, that's actually not going to help you. It might give you fun along the way. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but a lot of these YouTubers, they're just kind of like having fun building the system as opposed to thinking about what problem it actually solves at the end of the day. And I think that's what you need to focus on.
So what I did, because I now my life is in Notion, is I bought templates because I wanted to do Second Brain. I wanted to do something that would have my content, because as I got more and more clients and doing more and more shows, I could easily miss things. So I have checklists for each one of those things, and I am very disciplined now that I can go checklist. And so I can know where, who has what, where are things at, what content I put out on the different platforms. And it sounds like a lot, but the peace of mind that I have that I can look at that and go, oh, that is done. Okay. I can move on to the other thing. So I bought a template and then there's some things that I don't even use on it, but it got me set up to start. But like Dustin says, like, he's like you, Ian. He goes, he's the same way, start simple and build from there. Perhaps take bits of inspiration from the templates I find. And even when we had Kat Millerville on our show, she was talking about, you know, just do it like that, you know, make it your own or buy one and don't worry about the stuff you're not going to use. Don't stress about it. Yeah. I think either way, as long as you get it and you are disciplined enough to do that, I think is important. Another thing from Dustin I want to pull up says Pomodoro definitely helps me so much that I built an app for it specifically for how it best works with my flows. So Dustin is a little bit of a genius and kind of makes me mad that he can do that. But I use a Pomodoro technique called Focus to Do, which puts actually my task list and I can go through each one and have that time. It's really good, like you said, Ian, for stuff that you don't want to do. Like, okay, I'm going to work 20 minutes on my or 25 minutes on my taxes, which I just, but I have to have that timer to make me get focused. But if I'm working on something like preparing for a podcast or in it, I need to go over that. It's fine. You, like you said, have flexibility. So back to ADHD and kind of this time management thing. Is there anything else, any advice you have for entrepreneurs that have or struggle with ADHD in terms of managing time and setting realistic goals? Because I know you and I have talked before. It's like we say like, I'm going to do all of this and I'm going to do it in the next day. And then we're like, then we feel bad because the day went by and like we'd got maybe one of the tasks that we have trouble figuring out what we can actually do versus what we want to do. So how do you manage time and set realistic goals for yourself?
Oh yeah. You're speaking my language here. I've mentioned that the way we kind of experience time differently, but also we tend to kind of, you know, I've not mentioned the whole dopamine thing. You know, we it's difficult to get the dopamine, which is that kind of hormone that gives us that positive feedback on things. And so and a lot of us tend to be perfectionists and compare ourselves with others and think, oh, I've got all this stuff that I need to do. And just like the feeling that you're going to do it sounds amazing. But then you forget that most of those tasks aren't actually tasks. They are tasks of tasks of tasks. They're projects.
Right.
So, and you don't also know about other distractions that are going to come in that day, like a phone call or somebody comes to the door or an email's popped in and you got distracted. And then you get to the end of the day and you've probably done like 20 tasks, but there weren't, probably about two of them were on the list.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think having a little bit of flexibility here is good because, you know, you just need to be aware that that's going to sometimes happen. But this is why having some kind of to-do app where you're listing things, but getting that help to break them into those actual tasks as opposed to projects. Again, getting help from maybe a virtual assistant, ideally, and a virtual assistant who understands the way the ADHD brain works is helpful as well. And all the stuff that we've talked about before about understanding the different zones that your tasks are in, if they're all financial and to do with taxes and bookkeeping, good luck with that. That's all I can say. Just maybe focus on one or two things for 15 minutes and then reward yourself afterwards with something. Because again, like it is that dopamine thing. We don't want to get addicted to those tasks, but maybe you can say, well, after that, I'm going to do something, a fun task as well. I think be realistic with your goals because of that perfectionism. However, I'm going to like almost contradict that. I think because of that potential for that negative self-chatter, you also need to dream big sometimes. I've sometimes like think, well, I can't achieve that because I'm no good at it. And actually, when I have given myself the permission to dream big dreams, I have ended up achieving those because I've over time I've built those strategies to get there. So yeah, hopefully all that helps.
So I know we've talked about this before, is a lot of times we struggle with, we compare ourselves to others and we don't look back seeing how far we've come. Like if we look back to 2015, when we first met in the real life at Social Media Marketing World, we would have never dreamed what we were doing right now and who we were working for and the project we'd be able to do and accomplish and continue to work. So it's trying to create that new groove in your brain. Instead of comparing yourself to others, look how far you've come. And that's something I think, you know, you and I have talked about a lot. So now let's dive into this new project that you've been cooking up for a while. Ian, I know you've talked about this for a while. We've talked about it in our masterminds and stuff. Connor, I know you had a question about it as well.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. So the Smart ADHD podcast, new launch, new show, all that fun stuff. So I know, Ian, you kind of talked a little bit about hesitations, but what inspired you to, one, launch this podcast, and two, what were some of those hesitations that you might have had initially when it came to starting this?
Yeah. I love the way you asked that question, focusing on the positive first, because I would always like focus on the negatives first. But so for me, going down the ADHD route and realizing that I had ADHD and that my brain works differently took away so much guilt and has helped me become much more productive and just that understanding. It's been amazing. And I've spoken to so many other people who have had similar experiences. And so I've always kind of known I was different. And I questioned my own intelligence. And so I think that was part of it. But also I met this ADHD coach called Dr. Tamara Rozier. I came across her on YouTube. I invited her onto my other podcast. We became really good friends. She became our ADHD coach. And we were just talking about this. And I was thinking, I'd really like to launch a podcast about this. And she said, you need to do it. You need to do it. And like, she's quite a big name in the ADHD expert world. And so I kind of felt compelled, partly because she was saying I should, but also like I had this feeling inside of me that I just kind of almost felt that I should be doing this. Like I came out with something a few years ago, which was like, what I really love to be is like a catalyst for the transformation in people's lives. And I feel that this podcast could be that. But there's a big but, and the but was that, lots of people have been struggling, but there's still a lot of stigma attached to it as well. And, you know, some people have said to me, Ian, you shouldn't do that because like ADHD people are seen as unreliable. They're always late for things. And while that might not be the case, you know, you might not get hired if you say that about yourself. And do you want that to define you? So there was that, and the fact that I'm calling it Smart ADHD as well. Like, and I have a double problem here because, like, first of all, as I said, people with ADHD tend to question their intelligence and they have that kind of low self-esteem. But also, I'm British, like, and as Brits, we don't tell, you know, we don't kind of like tend to kind of talk about our successes. Like, this is why I love spending time with you Americans. Not that you're all like this. I don't want to paint stereotypes, but like in the UK, we don't want to kind of like big ourselves up. And I'm not saying I'm like super intelligent, but I think I've realized I'm probably more intelligent than I was giving myself, you know, permission.
You can
to
say,
be
or say it, credit for, you can say it, Ian. I know you're British. It's hard to say, but you can say it.
No, I can't even bring myself to say it. But that's the focus of this podcast is for smart people with ADHD, but it's not just smart people. It's also smart strategies. So even if you feel you're not smart, it's all about smart strategies. The other thing is, if you are smart, then often you have learned tools to help you counteract your ADHD symptoms. Some of them are really good and some of them are really bad. And I've realized, so this is, again, something from Dr. Tamara Rozier. She talks about the 6 bad tools that we tend to use. And the things like using anxiety, procrastination, avoidance, self-loathing and shame and anger. And those tools can really affect you in a negative way. And so that's why I feel it's so important to do that. And so that's why I'm launching this podcast and YouTube channel.
So this is an interesting question. I just do it because I know you do Confident Live, and that's another part of your brand, is helping people go live, you know, easily and confidently. But you're doing this one as a pre-recorded show. Is there a reason you did this? Is it because of you didn't want to stress about it, or why did you do it this way? Because I mean, you excel at doing going live, and you actually remote produce for other people. What's the reason behind doing it this way?
And I've actually done it the same with the Confident Live marketing show. I've actually switched that, and I don't do that live. I am going live occasionally with that. And I had this negative voice saying, like, Ian, like, it's called the Confident Live marketing show and you're not going live. And somebody said to me, like, Ian, you've already demonstrated that you know what you're talking about when it comes to live. So it's okay. So for me, for this new podcast, we're doing short episodes. So we're trying to make them 20 to 25 minutes long. So I'm trying to cut out as much waffle and trying to get straight to the point to make them, I suppose, ADHD friendly with that time. And we're focusing on, I suppose, it's education, addressing myths, specific topics as well. So the advantage with that is that in that 1 hour of time, I can then I can record two episodes. So that's really good. I can batch them as well. I can do multiple times today. You could still do that with live. But that's really helpful. So I can be more flexible. I love live. I still do it. But to be honest, at the level, at the frequency I was doing it at before, it was draining. I find live very exciting, but it also drained me a little bit too. I felt like I needed to change. Also, not all guests are going to be comfortable with live, particularly, you know, moving out of the marketing and social media space. Not everyone is techie. And I've got longer episodes. So the 20 to 25 minute episodes are with guests, expert guests. I'm interspersing those episodes with, I'm bringing on smart entrepreneurs, business owners, and creatives who have been navigating their lives with ADHD on to tell their story. And we're doing the opposite. So we're actually doing really long episodes. So the recent one was almost 90 minutes.
Wow.
And we're going deep into their story and I'm so excited about those. The expert episodes are really exciting too, but actually allowing people to speak and we can actually really get into that. And you can imagine if that was live, sometimes they might get onto a sensitive topic and subject. Right. And I want to have the sensitivity. Maybe if they don't feel comfortable with that, we can maybe edit it later. I think in most cases they won't, but I think that wouldn't work so well for live.
Those are great points. I was just curious because of that. So make sure you guys check out Ian's podcast, the Smart ADHD podcast. You can find that at smartadhd.me. That's where you can go and you can subscribe. Make sure you subscribe, listen, and then leave a rating and review. That always helps new podcasts out. And also you can find Ian at,
I'm just going to let you stumble over it.
I'm trying to think, do they spell the same right in England?
IAG.me is other website. Yeah.
Yes. So then you can get all his Confident Live stuff, all his podcast things there. So make sure to check him out. Connor Brown, where can people find out more about the Unsinkable Connor Brown?
You can go to wdwopinion.com and follow me at wdwopinion across the socials.
Thank you guys so much for your comments and questions. As if you're watching this on the replay, ask your questions. I know Ian's going to be following on the comments. We'd love to help in any way we can. But we thank you guys so much. We'll see you guys next week. Have a great one. Bye, everybody.
Well, there you go. I hope you enjoyed that. Let me know what you think. You can always send me an email at ian@smartadhd.me or just let me know some thoughts in the comments if you're watching on YouTube. I've been away on a little family break, which has been lovely. But I've got some episodes coming up with some other guests, and I'm in the middle of recording those at the moment. So we'll get back to some of those episodes and also some fantastic stories from some creatives, entrepreneurs, and business owners who are navigating their lives with ADHD as well. So that's enough from me, and I'll see you very soon. Toodaloo.